I was coming from Montgomery. I had my guitar on my back. When a stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac. He was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow-eyed. Say it's a long walk to Nashville, would you like to ride? I sat down in the front seat, turned on the radio. Them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when I asked him for a light. I knew there was something strange about this ride. He said, "Drifter, can you make folks cry when you're playing sign? Have you paid your dues? Can you moan the blues? Can you bend them guitar strings? Boy, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? If you're big star bound, let me warn you, it's a long, hard ride."
Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined, as always, by the legend Les Thatcher. Special guest today. It's always good to be able to find folks who are willing to get up early and hang out with the early bird special, such as Les and myself. It's even easier if that person doesn't sleep very much. That's Danny Cage of the Monster Factory.
Hey,
Leaks
guys.
For the dead. And Cage is all about it. But before we get started talking about the Monster Factory, the big super camp that's coming up next week, and some interesting events, including another camp, which is already on the calendar. Hopefully you're ready to circle that date as well, coming soon with the Monster Factory. Les, I know there were a couple of items you wanted to discuss before we get going here with Mr. Cage, having to do with, of course, the passing of Chavo Guerrero Sr. last week, the news about Nicole Bass yesterday, and also some sad news regarding George the Animal Steele, WWE Hall of Famer, in hospice care.
Yeah, I want to hit on that quick, and of course, you know, thanks for Danny for coming on with us today. But yeah, you know, with Chavo, the crazy thing, I wrestled their dad, Gory, back in 66 in the Phoenix territory. And, obviously Eddie, we've had told this story before, came here when he and Vicky had separated and WWE had let him go for a while to, he helped me train the kids and it kept him in shape and one thing another. So I was just going to say, you know, with Chavo, only met him one time, and it was a brief encounter. At Cauliflower Alley Club, it was the night of the baloney blowout, and we were introduced, and so we started talking, and I'd heard all the crazy stories, you know, about Chavo and one thing and another. So just a few minutes into the conversation, he said, "I understand, you wrestled my dad years ago," and I said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "You were a good friend to Eddie." This was, of course, after Eddie had passed. You've shown respect for the Guerrero family. He said, "I'd like to buy you a drink." And I said, "Okay." And so he decided we were going to do tequila shots, which, as much as I might have been around over a lifetime, I had never done a tequila shot. And so anyway, one became two and two became three. And in the course of that, we're talking about family and the business and one thing and another. And then he had to go be someone. I guess we spent a half hour, 45 minutes together, and he was going to go meet someone. And so he hugged me and I said, "Thanks for the drinks." And we had never had another conversation. But when he walked away, regardless of his reputation, I felt legitimately that, he did respect me for my contact with his family. And I had told Eddie about the story on his dad real quick. At one point, I was probably one of two or three English-speaking guys in the entire Phoenix territory in '66, and I was just a few weeks shy of leaving and coming back to Ohio anyway. But I made one of the trips. I didn't have a car out there. I'd flown to Phoenix, and so I'm riding in the car with three Mexican guys, and they're having conversation in Spanish and about a couple swear words and order a beer. And that's pretty much my extent of the Spanish language. And Gory realized, and he said, "Les, I'm so sorry, And he said to the other guy, he said, from here on, we're speaking English because we don't want to insult Les." And I just thought that was very thoughtful and sensitive, quite frankly. And so anyway, I told Eddie the story, and I'm assuming that he probably mentioned it to his brother, to Chavo. and of course, you know, how Eddie and I had bonded as friends as well. So, you know, so I, like you say, we only had the one encounter, but I felt it was meaningful. And, you know, the guy had a hell of a track record on the West Coast. I think he worked with every, you know, champion, you know, even Ernie Ladd, and he had some classic matches, I understand it. But, you know, I want to send out, you know, our condolences and regards to the whole Guerrero family. And I'm sure, you know, that he and Eddie are hanging out now. And I wish, and of course, you know, this has been a bad week. Nicole Bass has passed away. I never met her in regards to wrestling, but I had a conversation with her husband. I can't remember the name of the gym in New York City that they had. This would have been at the Schwarzenegger Classic, probably, I don't know, 1990, 91, somewhere back in there. And I was introduced to her, but never really spent any time. But I, you know, a lot of the guys are saying, you know, what, you know, she was a lot of fun. Lance Storm said that she wasn't adverse to ribbing him and picking on him, you know. But everyone says she was such a sincere lady. And, of course, she was only 52 years old. And that's too damn early to pass away for anybody. So our, you know, our best to her family. And, of course, a real great gentleman, George Animal Steel, is now in hospice, as I understand it. And I want to send out, you know, heartfelt condolences and prayers, you know, to his wife and to their family. George is a hell of a guy. I was we did a infomercial in Vegas, I think it was in 2005, with Nick Bockwinkel, Jim Duggan, myself, Honky Tonk, and George. You talk about a crew. And but George just a hell of a guy. And I'm sure with hospice it's not going to be long, but so, you know, God bless him you know, the best to his family. And I guess that's enough sadness for today.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
It is. And speaking of, you know, but then I always am happy when my friend Danny Cage wakes up early enough to get on the air with us.
What a sweet.
Well, you know, first let's talk. We were talking about Cody Vance before we started record, and I think that story itself. I remember him. He picked me up from the airport. It's been over a year. I forget what which trip I made up, but he told me the story how he skipped out on his graduation to show his dedication. But anyway, you obviously know the story better than me. Go ahead and tell the story of how Cody Vance ended up at the Monster Factory.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a kid, contacted me, referred to me through another wrestler, Jake from the Painkillers, and he called me up and he said, "Hey, I'm interested in your school, and I've been looking around at schools in this area, and I, you know, but I really want to come to the Monster Factory." So I said, "Okay, we got a camp coming up next week," and he was like, "Well, I got a graduation Friday night," and I said, "Okay, well then you can get here for Saturday and Sunday for the camp." And he's like, "Well, I just," and he started just giving excuses. And I said, "Hey, that's fine." I was like, "Right now, if I gave you tickets to the Super Bowl, you wouldn't say, 'Well, I have to do this, I have to do that.' You'd find a way to get there." And I was like, "And you wouldn't second guess it. And that's just a football game. That's not your dream." And he's like, "All right, you're right. I'll see what I can do." So he called me back like within hours and he's like, "All right, I'll be there." So he got in his car and he drove here. He was going to be the first one in his family to graduate college. First one in his family to graduate college. And his family understood, they supported him, and he came down and he did the camp and he left and he said, I'll be back. I'm going to move here and go to school." And I'm like, "Nah, this kid isn't coming back. You know, he'll be sore when he gets there and everything will kick in after that 11-hour ride." But he came back and, you know, he's been here ever since. And, he even tells the story like a couple times over the months. He's packed up his car and ready to go home because he was frustrated because he wasn't picking it up fast enough. The only thing he did athletically before was play hockey. Big, strong kid, but, you know, in the very beginning, very robotic and two left feet in the ring. And, you know, he's just a testament to, you know, the hard work and the dedication and putting it in the ring and plus a good, you know, our awesome coaches, plus also the students around him, helped lifting him up. And you know, he's been one of the success stories where, you know, he won our championship. He's done some extra work with WWE, and he's only been in about a year and a couple months. But
and of course, he was give you guys a pretty good scare, right? Because he went down. Was he working with Nick? Wasn't he?
Yeah, they were. We do a thing called Factory Fridays, where it's you get all the boys, and because every Friday we usually did matches at our school, and we said, you know what we should do? Me and Luis were just sitting around. I was like, you know what we should do? We should just like Fridays that we do it. Why don't we just invite fans in and we make it into like a little show, but we don't have music. We don't have anything. And we do it a little differently. Like we make it just for the adults, that these guys work a whole new crowd instead of the same old crowd they're in front of. You know, basically get people in here, get it rowdy, you know, colorful language, all that stuff, and, work different style matches. And they're in the middle of a match and Cody just reversed them. And, he didn't square up on the reverse. And his footing went, and, you know, he just dislocated his knee. And, you know, I knew right away something was wrong, but he is such a knucklehead. He tries to get through it, and, you know, I scoot over to the ring, and, you know, I'm telling the ref to get him out, and he rolls out of the ring, and we're looking at it, and me and Luis both at the same time are like, yeah, you dislocated it. And, you know, we just iced it up and gave him the instructions to go rest it and put it up, and the next day, he made an appointment to fly back and get an MRI, and MRI confirmed that it was dislocated, and they had to get his tendons checked and everything like that. But he did some physical therapy, and they checked the tendons, and they said they're all strong, and, you know, he should make a speedy recovery. The only thing that sucks is he has a title match this weekend with QT Marshall, so we had to take the title off him because he's not cleared yet. So that's inside his head now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and as they say, shit happens, doesn't it?
That, right, right.
You know, I saw the video, and I know when he went down, something, you know, I mean, just the way he went down, and,
yeah,
and of course you see him, you know, holding the knee. But you know, again, you and I were talking about this before we started recording. One of the things is he's going to probably recovery will be a little shorter term, and simply because he has not only spent his time in the ring paying his dues and learning the technical aspects of our business, but he spent a lot of his time in the weight room as well. And those guys who are in physical shape are going to be able to recover from things like this a lot quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. When your whole body is conditioned like that, I mean, I look back at T.O., you know, the man who broke his leg and was back in time for the Super Bowl. You know, when you're in that good of shape, everything heals up and just works a lot better. So, like, I tell everybody, like, it's not just in-ring training. You got to have nutrition. You got to, you know, push around those weights. You know, it's not like one of those things where you can just show up and you're a wrestler. It's 24/7 job, yeah, especially nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, we're going to talk about the camp next weekend, and of course the one coming up in April. But in June, you're going to do something a little different. Luke Hawks, who owns Wildcat Wrestling in New Orleans, is bringing, yep, his crew up to the old ECW Arena. What do they call it now? I don't even remember.
2300 Arena.
Okay, 2300 Arena. But you guys are going to co-promote this thing, right?
Well, he's handling pretty much everything. Like, he's handling everything as far as the booking and everything. He's just letting me have some input because, basically he's going to use some of our talent. You know, it's going to be our ring and stuff like that. And, it's going to be a blast because like I said, like, we have egos, but we don't have like the wrong kind of egos. You know, like there's not going to be any bickering between us. Like when he called me, he's like, hey man, what'll it take to, and I go, yeah, here's what it is. It's just, he goes, oh, I didn't know it was going to be that easy. I was like, yeah, that's it, man. Like, I'll work with people who, you know, I'll work with people who want to work, you know, and make sense to, it's like a no brainer. Same with like the Ring of Honor stuff and different stuff like that. Like, hey, you guys need something, I got it for you. Like, I just think we should all look out for each other. And the more we did, the good people looking out for each other, then that'll give the hint to the other people, like, to get out of the way, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited because now there's an exclusive deal with, the 2300 arena where I think only House of Hardcore and Ring of Honor, can run there for the next couple of years. They signed exclusive contracts.
Wow.
So Luke's promotion will be the only one that's going to be in there for the next couple of years besides those other two. And, you know, we'll be lucky enough to be a part of it.
Well, good. You know, and I think that needs, you mentioned egos, and I think that's something too, that a lot of these independents need to work together. Of course, you two, I've spent time at Wildcat, and of course, you know, spent time with you. You guys are similar in terms of your, dedication and seriousness about the product and what you turn out. And I think that's, you know, the mutual, respect and the fact that you both, you know, are have that type of mindset is valuable too. But, you know, as you know, I don't have to tell you, there's so many times that there's like all these, you know, there may be five or six promotions in a metropolitan area, and they're all like trying to push, you know, they're bad-mouthing each other, pushing this and that, pushing this.
Of course.
And it's counterproductive for everybody. It's not just one or the other. But it does absolutely nothing for the business in general and nothing for those particular promotions.
Yeah, and then it puts us in a weird spot because, okay, we got a promotion that's bad-mouthing us, and then my kids come to me and they want to work for them. Well, what am I going to tell my kids? You know, I don't want them not to work, but I also don't want them working at a place that is disrespecting us and the things that we do. Like you said, it's counterproductive. It serves no purpose. Everybody goes, yeah, but, you know, Vince, you know, did what he did. You know, he was cutthroat. I go, yeah, but Vince was also smart about it. You know, Vince was calculated. Vince was smart about it. And say what you want, but, you know, Vince has made a lot of money about it. And the industry has, you know, grown a lot. So there's something to be said to doing things the smart way. There's just too much, like I said, bad egos. Like, I'll never have an ego where I can't work with somebody if it makes sense. I just think more people should do that. That's why we bring in people like there's so many wrestling schools that, why do you have to go there? You know, we teach you everything. There's a reputation people are trying to get that I don't let our kids go and do things. I go, no, I just don't let our kids go and do crappy things. That's the thing. If there's a chance for them to learn from you, Rip, Bill DeMott, Matt Wyslinski, Bull James for 72 hours of training, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, let's say sometimes, or they drive to North Carolina to wrestle a 5-minute match and then drive back in that 72 hours, I'll take them sitting with those our guys that I bring in for the 72 hours as opposed to doing that. And other people go, oh, well, you're never going to learn if you don't make the towns. And I always say, well, if you're a crappy mechanic and your home base is New Jersey and you drive to Kentucky to work on a car, you're still just a crappy mechanic in another state working on another car. It doesn't make you that much better.
Yeah, that's something. And I think all like you mentioned Rip or Tom Pritchard or myself or any of us that travel around and do these things, you hear this. Well, you know, this guy wanted to, but he had a booking. And a lot of times these bookings are face value is maybe 25 or 30 bucks, but then the kids end up spending 5 or 10 out of their own pocket to make the shot. They're going to work with somebody who has maybe less experience than they do. And, you know, and actually they're it's more beneficial for them to spend that weekend, you know, with in one of these camps, because when they walk, if they pay attention, if they close their mouth, open their eyes and their ears, you can almost guarantee they're going to walk away from that weekend camp a better performer.
Absolutely.
And maybe that $25 booking will turn into a $50 booking at some point.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, I get contacted all the time. Like I have a booking that day and I don't want to go like, who's it for? And I don't say anything. I just say, hey, we'll work with you. If you have to, you know, come to our camp and you can leave early for that day. I'm not going to hold it against you. you know, blah, blah, blah. If you're, you know, if you can't make it, you can't make it. But then I also stress to them, well, here's what I do. Because our kids come to me all the time, and if we have a show, and if they had a chance to do a camp like ours, I'd let them out of it. And I've even cut breaks on payments where, you know, the Ring of Honor camps are like $300, but it's a chance to get your foot in the door at Ring of Honor. So I've said, all right, why don't you skip this month's payments with me, put it toward the camp, and then pick up payments next month. Like, because I'm for them to get better. I wouldn't want to hold them back from that. But at the same time, other people will be like, no, you got to do this. You gotta, I don't understand it. There's so many people that'll, they take it to the mentality of like, you have to do this to get better. Well, I understand that. But a lot of the times you made the towns and you did what you did in wrestling was also to get your name out there. Nowadays, we have social media where someone sees a video of you, your name's out there instantly.
Sometimes not for the better.
Right. But when Jerry Briscoe or X-Pac mentions our school and mentions, you know, Nick Camerato, Matt Riddle, you know, Luis Martinez, Cody Vance, QT Marshall, all these people, LSG, on a podcast, now millions of people just heard it. Or when I was on Stone Cold Steve Austin's show, yeah, how about that, man? And then I'm just doing that to rub it in the people's face that told everybody that I shouldn't be training wrestlers. That always amuses me. You get that, those people saying that, and it's just, you don't need that kind of exposure anymore. This isn't the days where you had to mail a VHS tape out to people to get your name out there. You know, you can click on social media and you're on YouTube, you're on a network, you're on a, you know, you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook Live. I mean, everybody can see you right there. That's just like making the towns. But you do need that experience of working the matches. But if there's an opportunity to learn in 72 hours or wrestle 1 5-minute match in 72 hours, I'll take the learning for 72 hours.
Yeah. Well, you know, and some, you mentioned the dedication. One of the things that I'll never forget, and you know, I think especially because of my upbringing in this business back in the Stone Ages, as it were. But the first time I was at the Monster, yes, you guys are laughing at me, but it's true. I'm old. But, you know, the first time I was at the Monster Factory, I remember I had never met QT before, but I knew Rhett Titus. But I remember those guys had worked in Ring of Honor show, I think in North Carolina, and drove on Saturday night. They drove all night to get back to train with us on Sunday. And yep. Regardless good whether they were good, bad, or indifferent, they had my undying respect because it mattered to them that much that they felt that they might pick up something that they didn't know in that one afternoon that they spent with us on that Sunday. And to me, that kind of attitude is what you reward and respect.
Yep.
Don't you?
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that. I bring that up to every one of our kids when they bitch and they moan and they complain that they have to leave early for something. I forget what we were doing. We were setting up for a show or something, and a couple kids, it might have been like 10:30 at night, and we're setting up for our Friday show. And you know, sometimes setting up goes late. You know, we have to do something. Something goes wrong with the ring. We're lucky that we don't have to transport the ring too far. We take it apart and we move it 30 feet over to the middle of our building. It spoils the kids a little bit, but I mean, it is what it is. But sometimes it runs late. And I remember a couple kids coming to me and be like, hey, can we leave early? And I'm like, well, why are you leaving? Well, I have to get up for work tomorrow at 9:00. And I go, okay, well, how far do you live from here? An hour and a half. I go, so you'll be home by midnight. Well, yeah, I got work at 9:00. So I yell over. I go, hey, Gio, what time do you have work? And he's like, 7:00. And I go, you staying till this is done? He's like, yeah. So he'll be there till 2, 3 in the morning and driving home and getting 3 hours of sleep, going to work for a couple hours, then coming in for the show. But hey, you got to get up at 9 a.m. You think it's right for you to leave? And I tell the story about QT and Rhett. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, yeah, you're right. But we still get it to this day. People want to, I'm like, listen, man, if you guys need sleep that bad and like, I love this thing so much that like, sometimes I you know, my wife yells at me. The other night I was up till 7 in the morning in the office, and I'm coming up the stairs as the kids are getting ready for school. Time gets away from you, and work is addicting, and you'll go without sleep if you have to, because it's just part of the business. I mean, you think in WWE they're going to go, all right, why don't you go get your 8 hours of sleep, and then we'll leave. It doesn't work like that. You sleep when you can. So, when they do that, I'm just, that's why, like, Luis, the other day, he, during our camp, I believe the camp that you were at, he stayed till, I think, 2 in the morning, and he had to be on a flight at like, 5 in the morning to, I think, get to Texas or something like that.
Or no, weren't they in North? That was, wasn't that the weekend they were in North? I don't know where they were at, but, yeah, he had Ring of Honor, and you're right. Yeah, he was there.
And then he flew back.
Yeah.
And then he flew back and had no sleep, but came in for the camp. And that's what these kids don't understand. They think, like, it's just add water and you're a wrestler. They like the idea of, you know, doing the drives, and they love the ideas of the road life. That's part of it. But the other part is, like, doing the responsible thing and, you know, packing your meals so you don't have to spend $40 to feed yourself in 3 days. You know, doubling up in a hotel room, sometimes quadrupling up in a hotel room to save money. You know, packing into a rental car, all these things, taking turns driving. But everybody just thinks it's, no, I'll just sit in the back and sleep and tell some cool stories about how we drove, you know, 15 hours and blah, 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 blah. But it's, I love when it makes my job easier when I have examples around me and people like QT and Luis and, you know, and Meany telling the stories and Wiles when he was driving with ECW. Like, that's the stuff that helps me and keeps me sane.
You know, when you talk about, sharing a room and stuff, it's, you know, believe me, you don't have to be a beginner. You just sparked a memory for me that I hadn't crossed my mind in a while for some reason. You know, out of the Tampa office, they used to run Nassau and Freeport in the Bahamas. And I remember going over there, and the crazy thing is to save money because, you know, the territory, those towns weren't all that great. But to save money, Jack Briscoe and I checked in to the hotel. Bob Roop and Ken Mantell, who went on to be the world junior heavyweight champion at one point, slipped up the back stairs. And we took the top mattresses off and put those on the floor for two guys, and the other two guys slept on the box springs. But, you know, and you're right. To me, when you guys came with excuses for this or that, I said, you know, it boils down to this. How bad do you really want this? You know, because there is a physical, mental, spiritual, monetary price you're going to pay if you're going to be any good at it worth it at all. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're wasting your time and everybody else's.
Yeah, I think I see it all the time. And what's great is, you know, me and the coaches can see it. We will look at a certain person, we'll go, he's not in love with the business. He's in love with the idea of the business. He's in love with the idea of calling himself a pro wrestler. He's not in love with doing everything it takes to be a pro wrestler. And I see it with wrestling schools, like or promoting. Like, yeah, this guy, he loves the idea of calling himself a pro. He loves the idea of saying he runs a wrestling school. But I'm telling you right now, he doesn't do everything it takes. And that's the big thing. Like, I put out that, you know, I put out like 17 points of, you know, what a wrestling school should be, because when I took over, that's what I wanted our school to be like. And I made sure that we did every single thing. It took a couple of years to get it done, but I wanted every single one of those things in a wrestling school because I think that's what belongs.
Yeah, we make a joke about it, but I think a lot of young people, especially, of the current generation, need to understand that I raise my voice, you raise your voice, and Rip Rogers makes us both look like pikers when it comes to raising your voice. But the point is, we do it, first of all, because of our passion, love for the business, but also because we want you to get it right. And,
right.
You know, I wish hell, there weren't any home videos when I broke into this business almost 27 or 57 years ago. But, you know, there's times I wish there were, because I'd love some of these kids to see what the hell went on with my training sessions as,
right,
as a young upstart. And probably they think, I ain't doing that. I mean, because,
right,
you know, back then you didn't go in, you weren't smart, even if you thought you might be, because they were going to prove to you you weren't, you know, no matter
right,
what you thought
make
of
you
this business. Yes, well, they were going
to
find out if you were, because they weren't
right.
going to smarten you up until they were sure you were going to stick. So, yeah, I can remember this. You know, it's been almost 57 years, and I can still feel the soreness of
yeah, limping I can
back
believe
to
it.
My, you know, limping back to my little rooming house in Boston and thinking, oh, my God, am I sore? I'm tired. But then you kept going back. Now, whether I did it because I was tough or because I'm just a hard-headed Irishman, I'm not really sure either. But
probably
anyway,
a combo of both.
Yeah. But, you know, they must understand, if somebody just takes your money and tells you that you're the greatest thing that's ever happened and continue to tell you that, well, you and I, we could probably spend an hour here talking about some of the horror stories of some of the schools that people shouldn't go to. And, but,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
You know, well, this is cheaper. Well, you know, you don't buy Cadillacs for the price of a Chevrolet. And,
yeah. And
well,
not only that,
guy doesn't
not
get,
only,
yeah.
Like,
but,
not only that, like, the price that we give, like, is one of the cheapest around. And you get more. Like, basically, like, we run it where it's a lifetime membership. Like, these other schools charge as much as we do for a 6-month program. Like, and they can't even offer half the stuff we do. So,
right.
Like, it's a no-brainer. Like, I tell the kids, like, but most of them don't want to do it because they go, like, that's one of the reasons I put out those videos and everything for a couple reasons. One, it's great publicity. Two, it shows how hard our kids work. And three, the ones that want to work hard, they see it and they go, I want to get there. Or the ones that don't want to work hard, they go, I am not going there.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And the ones that run a wrestling school and they're not doing that, people are like, why aren't you doing this? You know, this is the way they
yeah.
train. And look at their people, you know, going to WWE, going to Evolve, going to Ring of Honor, you know, going here, going there. Like, look what their guys look like. And even
sure.
the ones that aren't in the greatest looking physical shape, their cardio is still top notch.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Danny, the WWE, Evolve, and Ring of Honor and things of that nature, because, you know, there are some folks who are getting ready to come to this camp next week and or are looking at the possibility of attending the next one, which we'll also be talking about in a few minutes. But I want to harp on some of those success stories, or soon to be, guys who are on their way to being success stories. Two-part question, really. One, you mentioned Luis a few times over the course of this conversation. For those who don't know, that's Punisher Martinez of Ring of Honor fame.
Well, now it's Punishment Martinez.
That's right, Punishment Martinez, you're right.
Yeah.
Who's been on Ring of Honor now and become a regular there. And there's also some other guys who've been making some trips and doing some things with Ring of Honor as well. That's part two. I just want to ask you about some of those guys and what you can tell us about some of the folks who've been doing some work with Ring of Honor. But the other part is something I saw recently on social media, on WWE.com, as well as a post or two from you, with regards to a recent camp at the Performance Center, where it was noted on WWE.com that at least a couple of the people who were at the camp were trainees from the Monster Factory. And I don't know how much you can or can't say about that, but what can you tell us with regards to that?
All right, cool. I'll touch on the people working for Ring of Honor right off the bat. We have a great relationship with them. As a matter of fact, they were in training in our building Wednesday. The ring had to do some maintenance, and you know, Hunter hit me up and Berger and Will, and they said, hey, you know what we'll take? Could we get in there a day or two? I said, hey, come on in Wednesdays. We're not training in Wednesdays, just as long as our kids can roll around too, the more advanced kids. And you know, we went in there and they were in, and they'll be in next week. And we've always had a great relationship, you know, where, you know, we come in there and our guys train there. They're 40 minutes from us. So some of our guys train there on our nights off. But LSG and Shaheem Ali, coast to coast, they just wrestled the Young Bucks, two of our students. Damian Martinez is under contract. He was with a faction with your boy Les, BJ Whitmer.
Yeah, BJ.
Yep. And with Kevin Sullivan as well. And now Punishment's on his own. And he's actually going to be on the upcoming Japan tour. So he's one of our trainers and, you know, does all the right things. Like he says, you know, he didn't always do the right things. And he always says to the guys, don't be me, be the me now, but don't be the me before. Cause like he says he wasted like 10 years in the business doing it the wrong way. But, so we have those guys doing stuff. Plus we have, you know, Mike Dobbs, you know, traveling over there, Rico de la Vega doing Spanish commentary. Ian Riccaboni now is the new voice of Ring of Honor now that Kevin Kelly is not there. And Ian Riccaboni was a Monster Factory guy. Got to start here. So we do more than just wrestling. You know, we have commentary, managers, everything. And I couldn't be more proud of them, the hard work that everybody's putting in. And then, you know, WWE tryout. Contacted Canyon a couple months ago. I put some names in and a couple were picked and, you know, I tried to explain to the kids like, all right, guys, this is what it's going to be like. And they're trying to tell me that they think they're in shape enough. And I'm like, no, you're going to see. So we put them through the grinder a little bit, but I don't think they really got it until they went there. And this happens, you know, like clockwork. Every guy that we send there winds up coming home and telling everybody, listen to Dan and listen to the guys. They know what they're talking about. This is exactly how it is. You know, this is this, and, you know, it was Mike Orlando and Anna Teresa, his girlfriend. We're down there for a tryout, a couple-day tryout, and, you know, I got some feedback from a couple of my friends down there, you know, certain things that they have to work on and this and that. I can't get into details or anything else, but I couldn't be more proud of them for going there and sticking it out, because those things are not easy, and there's usually people dropping off left and right. But since I've been with the Monster Factory and owner, let me see how many people we've had tryouts. Steve Cutler had a tryout, got a job. Punishment Martinez got a tryout. They said he's on the cusp, but you know, there's this or that, but then the contract with Ring of Honor came up, so he went with that. Nick Camarado went for a tryout. He killed it. You know, he should be there, I'm sure, any day. You know, who knows? But, you know, if it doesn't work out, there's always more options for him. We're always looking out for him. And then, you know, of course, Matthew Riddle. And he just touched on it on the podcast. He went there, killed it. They gave him that yes. But then they're just like, hold off. And I'll get some more experience. Then they said, you know, we'll pass, but it doesn't mean no for good. So he's out there killing it right now. You know, he's under contract with Evolve, doing great things. Really good kid. I mean, he's one of these rare things where, he's just got it all. It's just, I always worry when things are too much too fast for anybody. So that's my biggest fear as a coach, you know. Sitting back and looking, if I was just a fan, I'd be like, this is awesome. But as a coach, I'm always wary about too much too fast. But I think he's got a good head on his shoulder. I think he's matured a lot over the years. So hopefully everything works out. And I he's such a nice kid. He's such a good heart. Like, you know, a kid is a good kid when you find it hard to yell at him and stay mad at him. Because he's just got that, and it's not just because he'll literally beat your ass. But he's just like, you know, he's that big goofy kid. He just, I know, I'm sorry, bro. And then you just start laughing at him. You're like, okay, Jesus, God. You know, you big knucklehead. But, you know, he's a good guy. And, you know, these are just these things that keep on branching off of doing the right things. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Cody gets that look soon. And, you know, we have some other people that don't necessarily train with us, but they wrestle for us. And some good things are going to be happening for soon, hopefully, like Mikey Webb. And, you know, we got this other guy, Ogre. He's 6 foot something, a big kid. He's doing stuff with Ring of Honor. And he drives in, I think he's from Virginia, and he drives in to our shows every single day and every single show, and he's never late and stuff like that. And this kid, Sage Matthews, 20 years old, trained with Rip when he was like 19, and he drives in and he stays with Cody and they all hang out. So it's like a good little clique of people that we have who all want to put into work and do what's necessary to take that extra, you know, step in their career.
You know, I want to make a mention too about, Jay from Richmond, Virginia, who's in his 40s, right? I've worked with him up there, but he's comes down, and I know I got an email from another young man from that Richmond group that he and Jay are coming next weekend. And these guys are driving in, and I'm so in admiration of Jay, this guy Jay that we're talking about for those. He's, I don't know, 44, 45 years old. He's in
great shape.
Very good shape. He runs, I mean, and that's, you know, when I was up in Richmond last year for Ground Zero, now I was, you know, primarily there to work with a lot of their younger kids and the greener kids. He was there every day in the ring doing the drills, and, you know, he's going to show, and this, I think what a lot of young guys don't understand is, I think we as trainers appreciate and admire this more than if you come to us and blow smoke, you know, talk nonsense, and we know you're full of crap anyway. And, and you know, it's just, but you know, when you're mentioning the WWE tryout, I tell you a quick story, and I won't even mention the guy's name. A kid that I trained started, and a few years ago when OVW was still part of the system, he came to me, one of the weight rooms here, and where I was doing personal training, and he said, I want you to put me through some, you know, some hard workouts and this. And I said, what, all of a sudden do you decide you want to get in some kind of shape? Well, you know, John Laurinaitis is going to be at OVW. And I said, when? It's in 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks. And I said, and you think we're going to get you in shape for that? In 2.5 weeks, because he hadn't, you know, so I'm putting, you know, I'm putting through weight training and so forth.
Right.
But long story short, he went down there, and at the end of the first day, they said, don't bother to come back tomorrow, because he wasn't ready. You know, and it wasn't about his wrestling skills, it was about his conditioning.
Yep, and people don't understand that. I keep telling them, like, if you would just do what we said, and we're here on a consistent basis, you're always prepared. You never know when you're going to get that call. You never know who's going to walk through that door, you know. What if William Regal walks in tomorrow, guys, and you're not ready? Or you blew off training because you wanted to hang out with your girlfriend. Or, you know, you got hung over and you had to sleep it in. Like, don't ever kick yourself in the ass because you missed a chance because you weren't ready. That's the worst thing ever. That's why, like, I'm like, I always try to keep our place as clean as possible, everything looking as good as possible. Everything always with me and ready, and I don't try to miss a day of training. I think I missed maybe 3 days, 4 days of training in the 5 years I've done this, 6 years I've done this. And, you know, one was like I was in a hospital, and another was, you know, family emergency stuff, but I'm always there, and you never know when your number gets called. Always be prepared.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've told kids that. Vince is not Mr. Benevolent. In other words, he's going to see you and think, well, you're a nice kid. If I give you a big paycheck, maybe you'll get in shape, or maybe you'll, if the door comes open, you better be ready to kick the damn thing in, because, you know, that first impression is the major impression. Even if they're going to get, well, like you mentioned about Riddle or so forth. Okay. But they know he's on their radar, and they think he needs more seasoning. That's all well and good. But the point is, they know he's out there. And they're remembering because he was in shape, because he is a good athlete in part as well. And I think so many kids just think, well, you know, I get in the ring and I can do a moonsault and I'm this. Okay. But there's more to this business. There's so much more than just that. Vic, we don't mean to leave you out.
Vic,
and
Vic,
I know you guys. Yeah, Vic, yeah, who is that we're talking about? I know you've got questions and some stuff that you want to interject here, too. Please go ahead.
Yeah, no, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, Danny, was since we got this camp coming up, another Monster Factory Super Camp happening next weekend, and another one already on the calendar, just for the folks who have maybe are listening to this and are not familiar with the idea of coming down to the Monster Factory for one of these camps, and are perhaps looking for a place to do something like this, whether it's whether there's any room for next week or going to have their eye on that future date that you've got set that I'd love for you to go ahead and talk about as well. What are the kinds of things that people can expect when they are going to be spending the weekend at one of these Monster Factory super camps?
All right, awesome. Yeah, I got this idea because back in the day, there was amateur camps where you would just basically go sleep away and you would just wrestle, eat, breathe, and sleep wrestling, amateur wrestling for 2 to 3 days, if not a week, at different camps. And I was like, man, we don't have this in pro wrestling. I was like, but we have the perfect facility for it. And I was like, we're going to do it. And I'm going to bring in some of the best minds around. And, we're just going to make it different each time. And like, you know, the last couple camps, it's been more conditioning. This one's going to be a little bit of conditioning, but I want to, you know, emphasize more on psychology, promo work, you know, tag team matches, stuff like that. And we're actually going to add something a little different. I'll announce it now, and I was going to put it up on the internet as well afterwards. We're going to do, we don't have a show announced for that day on the 25th, Saturday, but we're going to do one. And it's going to be a surprise show, and, you know, we're going to have like a week to work with promoting it, but it's more for the campers themselves. And we're going to do what's called a camp champ. And what we're going to do is we'll have a couple of our guys on the show, but it's going to primarily be about the people coming from out of state and other places that train, and putting them on the show and basically putting together matches, and all the coaches will get together and we'll award someone the camp champ title, and they get to do the rest of the camps for the year for free, and they can come by and train for a couple months out of the year. So we're going to do that every single camp that we do. So that's going to be something fun. Also, if you're from out of state, you're flying in, we will arrange one of our students to come pick you up from the Philadelphia airport, because we're 20 minutes from there. And plus, it's part of paying your dues. You got to do everything you can. And our students will shuttle you from the airport to our school, and you can camp at our school. Just bring a sleeping bag or a blanket, and you can camp at our school for the 2 days you're there. And there's a deli right out front, and heating, air conditioning, showers. I mean, it's, there you go. You're saving $300 on hotel rooms and foods and everything like that. And, our camp is, there's, 6 spots left in our camp. February 24th and 25th. You can find it on monsterfactory.org. Bill DeMott will be in. Les Thatcher will be in. Matt Wichlinski will be in. Bull James will be in. And it starts Friday at noon, and it runs Saturday till probably about midnight. There'll be roundtable discussions, nutrition talk. I mean, you name it. I just can't wait for it. These are some of the, you know, we do, I think our last one was in, October, November, maybe October 28th and 29th. But we're going to do these every couple months, keep bringing in new people. The April one, we haven't announced any of the guests yet, but we're thinking we might even just do it all Monster Factory coaches. And then maybe have a couple special guests that come in for the day, surprise guests, either from Ring of Honor or WWE or something like that, to come evaluate the talent. And that camp is April 21st and 22nd, and that's available at monsterfactory.org as well, plus on our Facebook page and all my social media. So sign up. Oh, and if you signed up for the February camp, and you sign up for our April camp, by the end of the day today, it'll be half price for the April camp. So you can't beat that.
Great. Oh, so you get a discount, and you can actually end up going to both camps.
Yep, yep. We have already had people take advantage of it. They've already hit me up, and they, you know, they texted me. I give everybody my number. My number is 609-471-7904. Call me, text me, talk to me. You know, I hide nothing. It's on my social media, all my stuff. Any questions about pro wrestling and all that stuff, you know, hit me up, but don't tell me, you know, don't send me stuff and say, can you watch my tapes? That's only for people who go to our camps and do our camps and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, I can't wait.
You mentioned, you know, we're going to work a lot of psychology, and you mentioned tags. And I think a lot of young people, if you're listening to this, realize that tag team in-ring psychology is entirely different than single matches, and it's a whole nother ball game. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm looking forward to doing that too, because You know, I think that's what's missing, you know, so much is actual psychology. And I know it's not Lance Storm and I've had this conversation. Dr. Tom and I have had this conversation. Rip, it's so many of these guys, we're doing our stuff. We're doing our spots. Okay, cool. But you're not making them count. And that's part of what we're talking about when we say we're going to do psychology, is where you can actually physically not wear yourself out as much and get more out of it in terms of a reaction from the audience.
Yep.
Victor?
Yes, sir. You know what?
You're the boss.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. I'm going to make sure that stays. I'm going to record that and run that on every show. Danny, you know, the thing I was thinking about here is that I feel like I probably ask you this every time you stop by, but I think it's important to have you repeat it every time you're here, only because you never know who's listening for the very first time. When we talk about the Monster Factory itself and the facilities and things like the Monster Factory Network, which is up and running and doing some interesting things and getting ready to debut some new programming as well. But the facility itself, you know, what people who maybe have not gone there before or are contemplating going to wrestling school or maybe even changing schools and are considering a place like the Monster Factory or maybe hadn't considered it until they hear you kind of talk about what's in the facility and the kind of amenities. And maybe amenities isn't the right word, but you know what I'm saying. The kind of things that they can expect to work with and work on when they attend the Monster Factory for one of these camps or just becomes a regular part of the training program.
Sure. It's over 4,000 square feet. You know, Kevin Kelly and other people have compared it to basically they're saying it's a mini performance center and a mini WWE performance center. We have two 18 by 18 rings, and sometimes we have three rings in there. And basically we have 4,000 square feet of amateur mats, a full weight room, showers, plenty of parking, sound system throughout. And, it's, when you walk in, like you just, this is wrestling. It's addicting in there. There's been so many people who walk through the door and they're just like, this is unbelievable. This is, I can't believe it. And, you know, and our kids, you know, they get spoiled because, you know, like when I went to wrestling school and other people, they're like, this is the way I pictured a wrestling school. Well, now we have it. And that's the main reason why I run it the way I do, is because I was taking notes as I was a student of, man, if only we had this, if only we had that, you know, cause me and Cliff Crompton trained together and I was talking about the wrestling school and he's like, that, what you got is what we pictured when we were going to school. Cause he came in '99, I was in '98 and you know, there wasn't stuff like we have right now. And, it's awesome and it's addicting and we try to make it as easy as possible. Like, for example, like if you're a student, you're trained somewhere else, you know, we'll get you in the ring and we'll give you an evaluation. And, you know, there's some people say like, oh yeah, I've been trained and then they can't even put a hammer lock on properly. So, but, we'll get some that come in and we'll give them half price tuition, stuff like that. We work with people, payment plans. For example, if you sign up for our February camp, like, there's people training with us right now that signed up for our February camp a year or a month ago. And what we're doing with the February camp is if you pay the $200 for the camp, you can train here for 2 months free and get prepared. And if you want to sign up afterwards. So, you know, this way we, it's a way of saying, hey man, the door's open for you. Now it's up to you. I mean, we couldn't make it any easier for these guys and girls.
The other advantage I think that you guys have over a lot of schools, which may actually have fine programs in their own right, is the fact that you've been able to forge pretty solid relationships with Ring of Honor, as you mentioned, and WWE as well. What do you attribute the ability to put those kind of relationships together to? Like, how did those things sort of come together?
All with networking, networking and being positive. Like people can say like, you know, I'm a miserable son of a bitch and I'm this and I'm that, but I'm really not. I'm a stickler when I do things and I'm all business when it comes to training. And I think that's what most of the people respect over at those places. They know if I say something, I mean it. You know, we've had, representatives from WWE and asking about some of our students at times. And I said, no, he's not ready or she's not ready. So they know I'm not going to send them crap. Social media works, man. Like, I got to be friends with Joe Briscoe and Austin just because of Twitter. And, you know, it's opened so many doors. And, you know, then I brought in Bob Evans, who then brought in Kevin Kelly, who then opened the doors to me going to Ring of Honor and doing their camps and hanging out there. You know, I would sit at some of their camps for, you know, 24 hours over the weekend. I didn't have to. I had my own wrestling school. And I think that helped out because, like, you know, the first couple camps, I was just sat there and watched, and they didn't talk about me. They didn't do anything. To the point where the last camp I was at, they're introducing me, telling me how great the wrestling school is, and if there's any questions, they should contact me and this and that, and feel free to pick my brain while I'm there, and, you know, introduced our students that are there and our coaches that were there. So it's all about, you know, doing the right things and consistency. You know, you can't expect to show up to the Ring of Honor building for one of their camps and all of a sudden you're the man and you're there. Now you got to, you know, it took a couple of years. You know, there was, you know, I was dealing and talking to them since 2012 or 13. And now we got to the point, you know, 4 years down the line where the relationship is working out perfectly now. And, you know, brought Gerald in 2012. And, you know, then it became a conversation with him to then talk to Canyon, which then was talk to Regal, and everything's worked out. And, you know, I wish it was better where, you know, there was more open line of communication, but they're a billion-dollar business and they're a little bit busy. So it is what it is, but it helps with our students when I can contact them and just basically say, hey, I have a couple kids here and I think you should take a look at them. That doesn't mean someone's just going to walk in the door and get a tryout, but we have the ability to put them in for tryouts, which, you know, took years to get that kind of respect. So I'm very happy for that.
I think the kids need to understand too, the fact that you can say, this guy, you need to look at this guy. That's not an automatic, ticket to the dance. Just a ticket that you put your stamp on this person. And you know, I think a lot of people don't realize with our business, it's subjective. You know, in baseball, if you can hit home runs, you've got a job. Or in basketball, if you can put 25 points in a game, you're going to be in the NBA, et cetera. But our business is not about, I mean, talent is important, but it's what the person looking at you perceives is important as well. And I think a lot of kids, you know, that for me, when I was with the company years ago, was frustrating. Well, not just for me. I know Cornette and Danny Davis felt the same thing sometimes, because we'd have somebody, we would say, this guy, you need to look at this guy, and yet they were looking at somebody else because they saw something, you know, in terms of that person's look or whatever, you know, that they were getting ready to build, and this guy might fit the ticket. So don't, you know, it's not about being discouraged either. One of the things I wanted to mention about the Monster Factory that is important and never seems to be mentioned about schools in general, but the energy that I feel when I'm there is important to me, because that is, you know, that was something when HWA was in its when it was at the top of its game back in the early, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. You could come into our place, and even if you didn't feel, you know, 100%, the energy of that play came off of everybody else made you want to train. And that's one of the things that keeps me sleepless when I go to New Jersey, is the fact that I know at my age, but I want to hang out. You know, I don't want this to end. I mean, right. Last year, Danny will tell you, hell, I thought I had another day there. No, you're going home in the morning. Oh, hell, I don't want to go home in the morning. But,
right,
you know,
I know. I felt so bad.
Well, it's just me misreading something. It wasn't. You'd had enough of me anyway. I know how that goes. My wife tells me the same thing. Get out of here. No, anyway, you know, but I think that's, you know, that is something you can't, you know, you can't put a price on, but the energy around you, if everybody else is stepping up to the plate, you're going to give it your best shot too. And I think that's the only thing that brings the best out in people.
Yeah. And I think it's also a bunch of like-minded people, and it is contagious. And at times, you know, me and Luis will see it, like, you know, it's not like that all the time. You know, there's times where, like, the coaches, like, for example, like QT's flying in tonight. But he's flying in from Atlanta, and, you know, he wants to come to the school and talk to the kids. And I know what's going to happen. We do it all the time. Like, that's why I have to run all my errands right now, is because every time me, Luis, and QT get together, we're going to have to send pictures to our wife and girlfriend that we're still at the school hanging out and not running around. Because literally, we'll sit there and talk till 3, 4, or 5 in the morning. And then we're like, we have to got to go and get some sleep. That's what happens. But, like, we have to give these kids sometimes that pep talk where, hey, you know, do you guys want to be here? Like, you know, you see other things happening for people. You know, they might see something happening for Damian Martinez, you know, Punishment Martinez. They might see something happening for QT. They might see something happening for LSG and for this guy and that guy and Nick and all them. But they don't realize, like, they've been doing it years. You know, you got people that showed up and they haven't been consistent over the last 5 years and are wondering why things aren't working out for them. Well, it's because you haven't been consistent over the 5 years. Give me, you know, consistency. Give the hard work. And like you were talking about, you don't know what they're looking for. You know, they might need a 6'5" guy with a beard. Okay, we'll take Nick. But if you're 6'5" chiseled and a good looking guy, you know, it's going to be somebody else. Sorry, Nick, I just called you ugly. I'm messing with you. but you know, they might just need that person. You know, I've got the emails before, you know, right when a position for that person opens up, we'll bring them in. So they'd only go by body type and by look. They also go by race and religion, I guess. You know, there's so many different things out there. They're a global market. I mean, all these places have different things. I mean, everybody says like they're cookie cutter, but they're trying to change that. And when you try to change that, I mean, it's going to be some of the things like, hey, you just don't fit our mold right now. You know, we have a guy that does that. We don't need another guy that does that.
It's like typecasting for a movie, right? I mean, it's,
right.
Yeah.
You could be the best quarterback, but if I have Tom Brady, I'm not going to take you. I'll deal you off to somebody else, and I'll pick another draft pick. That's just the way it is.
Did you hear that, Vic? He just said Tom Brady was good. Now write that down.
I think he's great. I just think he's insane.
I'll tell you what, that Super Bowl, that was the greatest comeback I've seen since Steamboat was making comebacks on Flair. I can't even begin. That was.
But the only thing the only thing I'll say, great quarterback shouldn't have to make that comeback. Boom.
Yeah. You know, Mangini. On a talk show last week, somebody was saying, you know, Brady said that, you know, everybody's talking about how great the game was. And he said, that wasn't one of my best games. And the different, you know, anchors were talking, giving their opinion. Mangini said, listen, if he'd have played the Tom Brady at the top of his game for four quarters, it would have been a blowout. You wouldn't even know Atlanta was in the game. And he's right.
It would have been like a Montana Super Bowl, the greatest quarterback that ever lived. And I'm not even a San Francisco. I'm not even a 49ers fan. I'm an Eagles fan. But Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback ever.
As a kid, Notre Dame, you know, was one of my fascinations. And of course, that's where Joe played his. Well, you know, the year that the Bengals had the lead toward the end of the game. I was managing Royal Fitness here, and everybody said, Bengals got it. I said, how much time's left on the clock? And I forget what it was. And I said, don't start celebrating until the clock runs out because Montana's in this game. And you got to look at Brady the same way, right? I mean, it's as long as they're in the ball game and there's something on the clock. An old quarterback before both your guys' time, Bobby Lane, who was sort of Joe Montana, Joe Namath before Joe Namath, because he was a party guy, right? He quarterbacked the Lions and the Steelers. But he made a statement. He said, I've never been beaten. I've had the clock run out on me a few times, meaning, you give me enough time, I'll find a way to beat these guys. And you know, I think that's the attitude that they bring. But you know what? That's the attitude that gets guys jobs in our business, too.
Yep. The people don't understand that. That's why I say, you know, there's a reason why these teams are good. There's a reason why these coaches do what they do. You have to put in the work 24 hours a day. They don't just get to say, hey, I got 16 bookings this year I'll just show up for my bookings. No, you have to put into training during the days to make sure those bookings count and that you're ready. There's too many people that just, I don't understand it. Like, how can you just go wrestle? How can you not train and prepare? I just don't understand it.
Well, you know, there's Brady. He's got 5 rings, 4 MVPs in the Super Bowl. But when they start summer practice, his ass will be running the same drills and doing the same thing that every rookie on that Patriots staff is going to do, too. So, yeah, it's never ending. I mean, the minute you let down, it's, you know, I won't say it's over, but the minute you flatline, then your progress is stymied. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, and here's the thing, like, also, like, I explained to our guys, like, just last night, we had a couple guys that were sore. And I said, take the night off. Like, don't even come in. Like, don't make the drive. Take the night off. But these are guys that also, every single day, they're putting in the work. So I don't feel bad about that. You know, those are the guys that, yeah, take a break. But if you're a guy who comes in maybe once a week, and you're telling me you're sore and you can't do this, well, then this isn't the business for you. Now, granted, every once in a while you do get tweaked or you do this, but then come in and make me get you out of the ring. You know, we have this girl, Jess, tough girl. She was a cop for Rutgers, and tough girl and just a natural in the ring, really. But the other night, you know, she hurt her elbow and she's crying in the ring and she won't stop. She keeps going. And finally, I had to yell at her to get out, and she's like, no, I'm fine. And then I had to, like, literally scream at her to get the out of the ring. But she's like, I just don't like to give up. I go, that's fine, but when I tell you to get out, you listen. You know, so we got her a bag of ice and on her arm, and she was fine after that. But, you know, it's that mentality of, let me get you out of the ring. I will see that you're hurt. But if you try to act hurt, I will see that too.
Yeah.
You know, like, ooh, my leg. Ooh, my arm. You know, pulling a Rodney Dangerfield. My arm. I know you're bull crapping. Being in the wrestling business, there is no seasons. So you have to be ready all the time. And it's not going to get easier once you get signed. Like, I love that. Like, oh, once I get signed, then I'll be able to do everything. No, then it's going to be even harder. Make it a habit now. Like, I tell our kids, like, you guys, I have so much respect for you, even more than the kids at the Performance Center, because they're getting paid to train. You guys are paying me, and I'm torturing you more than they are. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You guys are driving 2 hours to get here sometimes, and then having to work 60-hour weeks on your shoot job, while the guys at the Performance Center, they go in to train, and then they're hanging out in Florida all day. Like, you guys are working harder than them. I'm sorry, but you are. We're the hardest, sure. In my mind, like, we're the hardest working school in the world. And I tell our kids that. It's not like a slap in the face of other people. It's just to, you know, to help drive our kids.
And again, that comes back to, I think, the energy that bleeds off of one to another. And that helps you as a coach kind of weed people out, too, regardless, right? And again, I won't use any names here, but the last time that Dr. Tom and Kelly and I ran a week-long tryout camp here, we had a show at one of the nightclubs downtown. And so all the people that were flowing in, you know, went down there too. And one of the students came to the back as the ring was said, well, should we help set up the ring? And Dr. Tom said, absolutely. So,
right.
You know, and then at the end of the evening, we were finishing up in the back. Doc says, I'm going out front and see what's going on. Well, he wanted to see who was helping tear the ring down. And he came back and he gave me mention of all these kids that had been flowing in at the cost of WWE and housed at the cost of WWE. Two kids stood around with their hands in their pockets watching everybody else break the ring down and load it. And Tom said, and those were the two that stood out, all for the wrong reasons, and that probably would be part of the reason that they didn't get a 100%, you know, good review when he went back to Stanford, because, you know, well, I'll tell you, the first time I ever talked to WWE about, you know, they were still WWF, and Bruce Pritchard had driven up here to Cincinnati from Louisville, and the reason he'd had to fly into Louisville was a couple of the kids that were under contract didn't want to help with the ring. And right. his job, and he flew down there and he said, you know, this is your office. You're going to learn how to set it up and take it down. You need to understand it. And if I have to come back here again, the problem, probably you won't have a contract. You won't have to worry about setting this ring up anymore because right. you'll be gone. Of course,
they don't
Danny cured that. No, Danny cured that because the guy he put in charge of the ring crew was called Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Brock, whatever you need, baby, I'm
but
here.
The thing is, the thing is, like, our kids don't get it. Like, they don't understand why I yell at them, because I'll literally, after a show, they don't think I'm watching, and I see what they're doing. I see the ones doing the work and the others floating around. Like, the guys I quote-unquote say are in love with the idea of being in the wrestling business, but not what it takes. For example,
yeah.
Steve Cutler at NXT right now. He came back, he comes around every Christmas time and he'll just pop in and we won't announce that he's going to come in. He'll come in and, you know, talk to the kids and, you know, we'll hang out, we'll roll around, do whatever. And he comes in and he starts folding up chairs and taking the broom and getting in the ring and sweeping it out. And then our kids are sitting on the ground watching him do it. Like, it blew my mind. Like, I was furious and I'm just like, I was like, you should have to tackle this guy. I mean, you'll get killed, but there's no way he should be doing this. You should have been beating him to the punch. But, like, there's just certain things because, like, for example, after Saturday night when we're all hanging out, I guarantee you it would make you think more if they didn't come up to you and shake your hand and tell you how awesome the camp was and what they could do to get better. But if you didn't see them, and you looked over somebody else's shoulder and you saw them breaking down the ring and cleaning up chairs and everything like that, then you're really going to notice that. You know, they should be coming and talking to you after all that's done.
Yeah.
You know, after the trash is taken out, after the floors are swept, after everything's cleaned up, after everything, the parking lot's cleaned up, then you can bullcrap. But they just want to come around and bullcrap because it's, oh my God, it's easier than work.
I had the owner of another school come to my place one time and, they watch after the show was over, all the kids, you know, going around picking up the trash and emptying the trash out and one thing another. And he looked at me and he said, how do you get them to do that? You know, and I said,
right.
You tell them that's part of the job.
Right.
You know, it is.
And, you know, not to say that all of our students don't do that. You know, I don't want to bury the kids that are doing the right thing, but there's, it is what it is. You know, kids are kids, and I can't be able
yeah.
once. But those security cameras sure do help out because I can find out things when I leave.
And what they don't understand is they're being noticed, but for all the wrong reasons. You know,
right.
And that there's another point, too. You know, you and I make a joke of it. Well, you know, like this coming weekend, I'm thinking, damn, I'm going up to the Monster Factory. DeMont's going to be there. Kate, Christ, these young guys are trying to be a bigger asshole than I am. That's, you know, trying to steal my reputation. But, you know, it's, you know, I don't think they understand. You know, the guys that were around me here a lot got to understand. And they would tell newcomers, you know, if he's on you, that means he sees something in you.
Right.
If he's not on you, then's the time to start worrying because he figures you don't have what it takes to make a good wrestler anyway. And I think they've got to understand that you can't make them better if you don't tell them what they're doing wrong. And if they keep repeating it, yes, you're going to raise your voice. And there's a kid, Whitmer and I were, BJ and I were talking about this last year. And this kid goes around talking about me, the old man. Killed my love for the business. BJ said, obviously his love wasn't too strong to begin with, you know.
Yeah.
Because if that's all it takes to, I said, if it just took somebody yelling at you to kill your love, hell, I'd have been, my love would have been dead 3 days after I started to train, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I've lost a couple students because of that, and I've kicked people out because of that. Like, I don't put up with it. And they'll say, like, oh, you're negative, and you know, and I go to this school and they don't do that. Cool. Go there. You'll go nowhere. It's not going to work
yeah.
out for you. Trust me. I do what I do for a reason and I'm good at it. And,
yep.
you know, it's just like, I'm not here to wipe your butt. I'm not here to coddle you. I'm not here to pat you on the head and tell you everything's okay. Now there's times where I'll, take you to the side and I'll say, hey, you're doing good. You're doing this. You're doing that. But if you screw up, I'm going to let you have it, you know, and then that's just the way it is.
And there's no participation trophy, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I showed up. Give me something, right?
Well, the participation trophy for our thing is you get to train here.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's your trophy.
That's an indication that you've done something right. And that, well, yep. You know, and to me, I know you and I are the same mindset in that respect is if I have earned something, it means so much more to me than if just here, take this, you know.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of kids understand that, sadly enough. The first car that was ever, you know, my dad said, you want to drive this car, then find a way to pay for the insurance, you know.
Right.
You'll take care of it, because if you tear it up, then you're going to have to find a way to fix it. So, you know, it's life. That's the other thing, too. I was a naive 19-year-old kid from the Midwest when I went to Boston. And in that first year up there, I knew I had to grow up. You know, it wasn't that the old guys were mean to me or the veterans were mean, but they weren't going to hold my hand either. They would help you as long as they knew you were trying. But
right.
It wasn't like, well, gee, you're only 19, so we'll take it easy on you. That wasn't the case. And I think if somebody's going to a school where it's all, you know, roses, then they're in the wrong place. They're not going to learn properly anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And I look at it the way I was bought in with amateur wrestling, too, because it's some of the toughest stuff you go through, and it's, you know, mental, physical, everything that you go through between cutting weight and everything like that, and the bus rides and everything like that. It's it almost conditions you. That's why I tell everybody, like, you should amateur wrestle if you want to be a pro wrestler. I think it prepares you so much more, and I think the proof is in the pudding with everybody who's come through. But it's that attitude of, like, you're very accountable for all your actions. You screw up, you screw up. There's no teammate that's really going to pick you up. You're on your own. And I think that's what's great about pro wrestling, but it also sucks because it is very cutthroat. But at the same time, you'll have your friends that will look out for you and we'll put in those good words. You know, I that's what's great about us is us as a group, we're always looking out for each other. You know, I get reports on everything. You know, people don't realize it. Like when people were at Ring of Honor, I already knew what happened that weekend before our students came home. You know, like when the WWE tryout, like I knew what was going on before our students came home and told me what was going on. So it feels good to have that connection with everybody and everybody looking out for each other and stuff like that. And they're not looking to bury anybody. They'll be like, no, I was very proud this person did this. You know, this guy did that. They have to work on this a little bit. You know, all good positive feedback, a little critique in here and there, but that's what I love about wrestling, man. It's one of those things that makes it very unique.
Victor, you still here? Or do we put you to sleep?
Oh no, I'm not sleeping.
Okay.
I'm good. In fact, I'm sitting here clock watching. If anything else,
if you are, you're going to have to run laps next week at the Monster.
You got it, brother.
I know better than that. Shit. But
you know, Vic's doing boot camp. How many times a week?
I know. I saw it.
Oh God, probably 3 or 4 days a week.
Boy, talk about in shape. We'll get him to run the 555 next weekend.
Yeah, man. Well, what we do now with our kids is when they don't count, it turns into the 666, then the 777, then the 888, the 999, and the 10, 10, 10.
I tell you what, then when it's time to run that drill and nobody can find me, I'll be at the deli.
You got it, man.
which what we need to tell people is that deli that Danny's talking about is owned by the amateur coach that shares the building with the Monster Factory. And let me say this, the food there is excellent as well. Tell just real quick, I know we got to get out of here, but tell them a little bit about the amateur history of that building. Danny, I think that's fascinating too.
Yeah, man. Paulsboro, one of a few of a handful of schools with over 1,000 wins, and they were undefeated for like 20 years. And the guy who runs the building and basically the town built the building. He's the principal and the head coach of Paulsboro. And he invited us in with open arms, and he's a wrestling fan, a pro wrestling fan, and of course an amateur wrestling fan. And it's so cool because, you know, he came in and he met Jerry and the other, like 2 years ago, they were at Beat the Street in New York, you know, and they ran into each other. And, you know, Jerry's wearing like a Paulsboro wrestling shirt, and different people are coming up and like, oh, Paulsboro. He's like, isn't that where the Monster Factory's at? And this, this, and this. And it's like that cool, like, man, you know, we got, you know, roots down. Like, this is going to be our building, and this is really cool. And, you know, the amateurs, they come in there, and, you know, some of them, they shoot us the stink eye because they don't like, quote unquote, pro wrestling because they don't understand it. And they're like, oh, it's the fake stuff, you know, and then, you know, we'll say, hey, why don't you hang with us and do our, you know, do one of our workouts. Then they realize it's the real deal. But, you know, those kids are in there working hard, and then, man, Paulsboro, one thing they're known for is wrestling, and it's a small town. And to be that small town and to be that good at wrestling, it's, you know, you know you're doing something right. And it's almost like I got a in-house recruiting tool, you know, with the Paulsboro wrestling team. So
many championships has he had?
I have no idea. I mean,
a bunch,
dozens,
though, right?
Has to be. Yeah, I mean, dozens. I mean, they were undefeated for 20 years.
Yeah.
So that'll give you an idea. I mean, like, the other, put it this way. I was talking to him, like, last year, and he was upset because I think only five of their kids were in the state tournament. So they had five people place in districts, regions, and then go to states. So, like, I remember we were ecstatic when our school had one person that placed seventh in states, you know. And
right.
So when you have five out of whatever 12 weight classes moving on, that's pretty impressive.
So if you're looking to walk through the doors of a building that has quite a bit of history to it, as well as arguably home to the not only the hardest working wrestling school, but maybe the most well-connected, Danny, give them your contact information one more time and just a quick rundown again of what they can expect or the deal that's available to not just attend the camp next week, but the one in April, too.
Sure. My contact information, it's very simple. It's 609-471-7904. That's my cell phone. If you follow me on Twitter, The Danny Cage, my phone number is right on there. My phone number is right on my our website, monsterfactory.org. The camp coming up February 24th, 25th, next Friday and Saturday. It is $200, and it's also gets you 2 months free training. And if you sign up for our camp then and you do our April camp is 50% off. So you can't beat that. So sign up, get your butts here, have fun. It's not, you know, as bad as you think. Everybody's like, oh my God, they're going to make me puke. Like everybody who comes in like, oh, we were told to get our puke bucket and this and that. I'm like, nah, man, it's fine about that. You know, you might puke. You know, but that's not our intention. That's not our intentions. We want you to learn. So, yeah, just come on out and, you know, follow us on social media. I'll have a bunch of stuff up there. And on the MFNetwork.com, TheMFNetwork.com. We have our own network. It's on online, on Roku, and on Chromecast. You can stream our stuff kind of like the WWE Network, but better because it's uncensored and not contrived, sorry. There's a lot of real stuff on there and good training stuff, seminars, shows, music videos, classic matches. I mean, it's not only for the fans, but it's for the boys. There's a lot of learning on there. Stuff from our super camps, stuff from Abyss Camp, Gerald Briscoe's first camp here. Just tons and tons of learning stuff. So they should sign up and You can't beat the price, $4.99 a month. Come on.
And Les, before we get out of here, make sure everybody knows that you're going to be at the Monster Factory next week. But actually, turns out the two of you are going to be making a trip and working again with each other pretty soon down in Texas.
Yeah. March 25th and 26th, Danny and I both will be at Texas Wrestling Academy for our friend Rudy Gonzalez, who has trained a few notables like Daniel Bryan and Paul London, Brian Kendrick, Lance Cade, and so forth. And along with us, Josh Woods is going to join us, Dr. Tom Pritchard, James Beard. That's March 25, 26. That's a Saturday and Sunday. And they can get in touch with Rudy at 210-326-1520. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. To be honest with you, this is my first camp at another place. Like, no one, all the years I've been doing this, no one has contacted me to come and do a camp at their place yet. Believe that.
You're just too damn mean. That's the problem.
I know. I know, man. I know it is. I know it's not because I'm expensive, that's for sure.
Anyway, you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next weekend, and tell QT and Luis and Nick and all the guys that I can't wait. It's always a pleasure, Daniel, and we're glad that your phone was charged this morning. You woke up in time, and thanks for hanging out with us too.
Love you guys. Thank you so much, and I will see you guys Friday and Saturday.
Love you, brother. You be safe, and see you next week.
You got it. Bye bye, guys.
That's Danny Cage, of course, of the Monster Factory. Mr. Thatcher?
Yes,
maybe,
sir.
Maybe I did mishear this, but I just want to make sure. So I'll go back and listen to it again, and if I got it wrong, then you just get to plug it twice. Did you give your contact information?
I did not, but I will throw it out there. You can reach me, Les@EPWT.com or LesThatcher@Zoomtown.com, and I'll be more than happy to send you out the information on the weekend camps, and hopefully, you know, that we can work something out. Always look forward to working with young people. And I honestly, you know, as we were talked about here, Vic, I feel that you know, give me a couple days with your crew, and if they're paying attention, I feel that honestly they can walk away better performers, and we'll be able to up their game and obviously help your promotion as well. And I, you know, with promotions, I work with your referees, work with the ring announcers, work with your, if you're doing if you're taping your stuff for sale, or if you are on some TV station, I'd be more than happy to do color and, help with your TV production, because that's in my background as well. The only thing I haven't done in this business is get rich, and it's maybe too late for that, I think.
You know, Powerball is $350 million this weekend.
I heard that. And listen, you think we're not going to have a hell of a facility if I win that? seriously, real quick, that is even as old and beat up as I am, to win that, I would love to set up a great facility, and I honestly would, you know, to the right people, would even offer some scholarships, I think, you know. Look back at, like, at Nigel, you know, somebody that was putting that much time and effort in, I would have been more than happy to help subsidize him, you know, if he could have got the visa to stay longer. Hell yes. But yeah, it's been my life, Vic. And like, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that Danny and I bond, or Bill DeMott, or any of these guys that we're working with, Rudy Gonzalez. You know, it's our life. It's what we do. It's who we are. And, sadly enough, I make no apologies for that.
Well, if you're serious about making this your life, be at the Monster Factory next week, or take advantage of one of those opportunities next Super Camp in April, or make sure you go wherever Les Thatcher is booked, because you're going to get someone there working with you who takes it every bit as seriously as you do. And that makes it worth your while, worth your time, and most definitely worth your money. So we're going to wrap up this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. For our buddy Danny Cage of the Monster Factory and the legend Les Thatcher, my name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to spend it here with us, and we'll talk to you again next week.